The scripture reading is Mark chapter 5. Mark 5. We will read the whole chapter. The text is Mark 5, verses 22 through 24, and then 35 through 43. 22 through 24, and then 35 through 43. Those are the verses that deal with Jesus raising Jairus' daughter from the dead. It's a lengthy text, so we won't reread it. Pay special attention to those verses. I'm doing a series in Edgerton right now in the book of Mark, and this is what we came to a couple weeks ago. So I bring this word to you tonight. Mark 5, beginning at verse 1. They came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains that had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 10,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed, and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray to him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And, behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. So far do we read the Holy Scriptures. May God bless the reading of the Word to our hearts tonight. Again, the text is verses 22 through 24, and then 35 through 43. We will refer to those verses throughout the sermon. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus performed two amazing miracles. First, he cast a devil out of a man. Jesus had come over the Sea of Galilee, and as he had gone over the Sea of Galilee with his disciples, he had stilled the storm, stilled the winds and the waves. And when he got to the east side of the sea, the country of the Gadarenes, he was met by a man possessed with a devil. And Jesus miraculously cast that devil out of the man. He healed him. After Jesus did that, he went back across the Sea of Galilee to the west side and landed near the city of Capernaum. And that's when Jesus raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead. That's the miracle that we closely consider tonight. Now, understand what miracles are. We have two amazing miracles here in the chapter, but we need to know what they are. Miracles are mighty, unusual works of God and His creation that point to His saving work. Miracles are mighty, unusual works of God. They're also signs. They point to something. They picture something. The miracles that Jesus performed picture His saving work, His work of bringing spiritual salvation. Jesus demonstrates that in John chapter 9. Many other places He demonstrates this, but in John 9. There Jesus speaks of Himself as the light of the world. When He says that He's the light of the world, what He means is that He brings His people to see the truth. He brings them to see it and believe it. After Jesus made that statement, I am the light of the world, He proceeded to heal a man that was physically blind. He gave that man physical sight. What was happening there is Jesus was using that miracle that He performed of giving a man physical sight to demonstrate His spiritual work of salvation. He was using that miracle as a picture of the truth that He is the light of the world who gives His people sight. So the miracle was a sign that pointed to His saving work. And that's not the only place. There are many other miracles that Jesus does the same thing. He does a miracle and He points out how it points to, or He explains how it points to a spiritual truth. Now, Jesus' miracle of raising Jairus' daughter here, it also points to Jesus' saving work. And we are going to see that tonight. And may the Spirit strengthen us to see the great love of the Savior, the great power of our Savior. And may we respond in praise in our hearts, praise and thanksgiving. And may we be comforted. Let's consider the text under the theme, Jesus' raising of Jairus' daughter. Jesus' raising of Jairus' daughter. First, the setting. Second, the miracle. And third, the care. Jesus' raising of Jairus' daughter. First, the setting. When Jesus came off the boat near Capernaum, he was met by a large group of people, including a man named Jairus. Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue in Capernaum. Now, synagogues were places where the Jews met to worship God on the Sabbath. And there were elders at each synagogue who watched over the lives of the members of that synagogue. Out of that body of elders, there was chosen a ruler who would lead the worship service on the Sabbath. That ruler was the one who would read the scriptures, Old Testament scriptures, that's all they had. He would read the Old Testament scriptures and explain them to the people. Often that ruler that was chosen was a scribe. The scribes were those who copied down the Old Testament for their work. They were familiar with the Old Testament. They interpreted it. So they, lots of times, were the rulers. Now Jairus, the text says, was one of those rulers of the synagogue in Capernaum. So he very possibly was a scribe, and Jairus was certainly a leader, a religious leader of the people, of the Jews, in that day. Jairus, this ruler of the synagogue, had only one daughter, and his only daughter was very sick. She was about 12, or she was 12 years old, which is about the age of a sixth grader. So you think about that, kids, a 12-year-old girl. And verse 23 of Mark 5 says that Jairus' daughter was sick to the point of death. It was evident that the doctors of that day could do nothing more to help that girl. She was going to die. She was at the point of death when Jairus met Jesus there getting off the boat at Capernaum. You see, Jairus had received the news that Jesus was in town, and he hurried to meet him, believing that Jesus was the only hope that he had left for his daughter. Jairus fell at Jesus' feet, we read in verse 23, or verse 22. He fell at his feet, then verse 23 says, he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. So Jairus besought Jesus. He urged Jesus to come. And clearly, Jairus believed that Jesus could actually help. Again, verse 23, he says, lay thy hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jesus, just put your hands on her and she will live. I believe that. Jairus' faith is quite remarkable here when you consider that he was a leader of the synagogue. The religious leaders of the Jews in this day, as you know, did not like Jesus. Did not like him at all. They, first of all, did not like him because he was often pointing out their sins, often pointing out their hypocrisy, pointing out their pride. They didn't like to hear about that. Second, they didn't like Jesus because Jesus was very popular and people were going to him with their questions now rather than them. They didn't like that either. Jairus was one of those leaders, but he here demonstrates that he had faith in Jesus. The condition of Jairus' daughter certainly had taken a turn for the worse. There really were no other options for Jairus' daughter at this point. Nowhere else Jairus could turn to for help. But yet he did turn to Jesus. He looked to him for help, trusting in him. And there's a brief application there for us. We too ought to trust in Jesus for deliverance from our spiritual diseases, for deliverance from sin, trusting in Him alone, looking to Him. Trust in Him tonight. Jairus had faith, but his very words indicate that there were limitations of his faith. Jairus asked Jesus to come and lay hands on his daughter. Jairus was not thinking here that Jesus could simply speak a word from far away and heal his daughter that way. We read in Luke that a Gentile centurion had that kind of faith. He believed that Jesus could simply speak a word from far away, and that Jesus in that way could heal his servant who was very sick. Just say the word, Jesus, and my servant will be healed. Well, Jairus indicates in his words, in verse 23, that he did not have such confidence. He asked Jesus to come with him to put his hands upon his daughter. But Jairus did have faith. And Jesus responded to Jairus' request by heading to Jairus' home. But there was a delay. There was a delay. While Jesus was following Jairus to his home, someone touched him. Someone in a large mass of people, Jesus was surrounded by a crowd, someone touched him. It was a woman that had an issue of blood, according to verse 25. And this woman believed that her medical trouble could be healed simply by touching Jesus. If I can just touch him, I will be healed. Well, that's what happened. When she touched Jesus' garment, Jesus did heal her. And Jesus knew it. Jesus knew that he had healed a woman, and he asked, "Who touched my clothes?" Well, the disciples, we read, they looked at Jesus and they said, "There's a whole crowd of people around you, and you asked, 'Who touched my clothes?' There's lots of people that probably touched you." Well, Jesus knew that he had just healed someone, and he was going to talk to this woman that he had healed. And when he looked at her, she fell at his feet, and she told him everything. We read in verse 33, she told him all the truth. And then Jesus responded by speaking to her about her faith and speaking to her too about the healing that he had just given. Now think about this conversation. It's going on. Disciples talking to Jesus, then Jesus speaking to the woman, and the back and forth there. And all this time, you can imagine Jairus standing there waiting. This seems to be taking forever. Every moment would have been precious to Jairus here, as someone whose daughter was on her deathbed. Jairus must have been thinking, "Jesus, please hurry. We've got to get to my home before my daughter dies." You see, the rest of the story indicates that Jairus at this point wasn't even thinking of the possibility that Jesus could raise his daughter from the dead. Jairus at this point, and we'll see more about this, Jairus at this point was thinking that Jesus needed to get to his house before she died. So he's thinking, "Jesus, we've got to hurry." And you can understand that. You've probably been in a situation too where you're with someone else and you want to get somewhere, but they keep talking to somebody else and you keep thinking, "We've got to go, we've got to go." That's Jairus. And while he's thinking that, likely there, his worst fears were realized. For while Jesus was speaking to the woman, we read in verse 35 that someone from his house came and said to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" Basically, he was saying there's no point in bringing Jesus, the master, any further to our home. Your daughter is dead. And that's where we have the indication that these people weren't even thinking of the possibility that Jesus would raise her from the dead. Well, Jairus' heart must have sunk when he heard that news. And Jesus knew that anguish that he had within. He knew that fear that Jairus had, that his daughter was gone, that earthly tie was done. So Jesus said to Jairus, he looked at him and said, "Don't be afraid, only believe." It's verse 36, "Don't be afraid, only believe." Jesus was calling Jairus to believe in him. "Jairus, believe that I have the power to raise your daughter from the dead. Believe that." Jesus and his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, along with Jairus, then continued to Jairus' home. And as they approached, they could probably hear already the crying coming from the home. Verse 38, we read that the house was filled with people crying about the girl's death. Likely Jairus had family members there, siblings, maybe parents, friends. In addition, we know that often in those days, when there was someone that died in a family, they would sometimes hire mourners to come. They would hire people to come and cry about that person's death. That very well may have been the case here. Well, according to verse 39, when Jesus came into the house, he saw those people crying. And he said to them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." He said, "The girl is not dead, she is only sleeping." Well, there was a sense, of course, in which that girl really was dead. In verse 35, we read that that servant came to Jairus and told him, "Your daughter is dead." No doubt, her heart had stopped beating. Her body had been separated from her soul. There was a sense in which she was dead. Yet there was also a sense in which it could be said that this girl was not dead, but only sleeping. Ordinarily, the soul of the child of God passes immediately into a conscious state of glory at death. Immediately into heaven. Jesus said to the thief at the cross, Luke 23, verse 43, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." So ordinarily, that's what happens. The soul of the child of God goes right up to heaven to experience conscious glory with God. But this girl's soul did not pass into heaven when she died. We believe that there must have been provided for her a state of soul sleep. And we think that because we do not believe that the loving God, the God who loves his people, would take a girl's soul like that to glory, to perfection of heaven, and then have her go back to the earth, the sin-cursed earth, and live out the rest of her life. We don't believe that the God who loves his people would do that. So we think that she entered into a conscious state of soul sleep here. Now, by using the word sleep, by using that very word, Jesus was emphasizing that he was going to raise her up. There was going to be a reawakening. There was going to be a resurrection. But when Jesus said this, when he said the damsel is not dead but sleepeth, we read that the mourners laughed him to scorn. Verse 40. That means they mockingly laughed at him. They said, "This Jesus, he comes in here and he's never even seen the girl yet. And he tells us who have seen her, he tells us she's not dead. Is he crazy? What is he talking about?" They laughed at him. They mocked him. Now that reaction of laughing and mockery, it seems to indicate that there were professional mourners in the house. It's likely that the family members of Jairus who were mourning, truly mourning the loss of their loved one, would have been laughing Jesus the Lord to scorn in this instance. Now Jesus made no attempt to argue his point to those mourners. But Jesus did make them all get out of the house. That's the next thing he did. He told all the people to get out of the house except Jairus and his wife and his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John. Jesus was going to perform this miracle in private. And Jesus emphasizes that he wanted this whole event to be kept private in his words in verse 43. He says he charged them straightly that no man should know it. So why did Jesus insist that everyone get out of the house so that he could perform the miracle in private? And why did he insist that people not even talk about this miracle? And we ask that question especially after reading Mark 5, verse 19, where Jesus told that man who was healed of devil possession to go out and tell everybody about what Jesus had done. Why does Jesus say here, why does he perform the miracle in private and then say to the people who saw it, don't say anything? Well, Jesus wanted the people not to think of him first as one who would raise people from the dead physically, but he wanted the people to think of him first as one who would raise his people from the dead spiritually. At this point, many were not understanding that his work of raising someone from the dead physically pointed and was a picture of his work of raising his people from the dead spiritually. Many people weren't getting that at this point. And thus Jesus insisted that this miracle be performed in private. But also understand, Jesus wanted to keep this miracle private because it wasn't his time to die yet. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the grave just a little while later, Jesus raised Lazarus, and the leaders of the Jews immediately got busy in their plans to kill him. And soon after that, they did. You see, those leaders of the Jews, when Jesus raised Lazarus in front of so many people, they didn't like that because they were afraid more and more people were going to believe in Jesus. So in their fear, they got very busy in their plans to kill him. And soon after that, they did. Now, Jesus, here in this instance, he knows it's not his time to die yet. So he performs this miracle in private. Well, Jesus, he removed those people from the home, and then he performed the miracle. He performed the miracle. He went into the room where that little girl, that 12-year-old girl, was lying down. She was dead. And Jesus took her by the hand, and he said, Talitha kumi, that is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Talitha kumi is a phrase that is Aramaic. Aramaic was a language that was similar to Hebrew. It was the language that the people in that area spoke during Jesus' day. He said to that girl whose heart was not beating, he said, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And what happened? She arose. Immediately arose. She got up and walked, we read in verse 42. It wasn't the case that she had to lay there for a while and gain some strength, maybe take 3 or 4 days and get some strength to get up and walk again. No, this girl whose heart wasn't beating, Jesus said, damsel, arise, and she arose immediately. That's power. And the disciples that were there and the family, they were amazed. Jairus and his wife were amazed. Those three disciples were astounded. Jesus showed right before them that he was the Son of God come in the flesh. He showed right before them that He has divine, almighty power. No mere man could do that. Only God can. Jesus is God who has almighty power over even death. Think of that. So clear, right in front of them. This is the Son of God come in the flesh. Almighty power over death. What a situation that was to be in that room. After healing the girl, Jesus gave the parents a couple commands according to verse 43. Verse 43, Jesus again, He said, "Tell no one." He wanted the people to be focused on the spiritual salvation that He brought. Second, Jesus commanded that something would be brought to this girl to eat for her strengthening. Keep that in mind as the sermon goes on. This miracle that Jesus performed here, it was significant, and it is significant for us for a couple reasons. First, this miracle of Jesus raising Jairus' daughter from the dead is significant because it points to His work of raising us up spiritually from the dead. This raising of Jairus' daughter points to His work of raising us as people up spiritually from the dead. Apart from Christ, we are dead spiritually. Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 5, both say that. Ephesians 2, verse 1 says, "You hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." That's who we are naturally, dead in sin. To be dead in sin means that you cannot do any good, and you do not want to do anything good. A physically dead person, like Jairus' daughter, could not move an inch. She was dead. A spiritually dead person cannot move an inch spiritually towards God. A spiritually dead person, and remember, this is who we are naturally. A spiritually dead person cannot and does not want to believe in Jesus. A spiritually dead person cannot and does not want to serve God. Natural man, that is, man as he is, apart from Christ. Natural man does not have a free will. The idea of free will is that natural man can choose to obey God or not to obey God. But natural man cannot choose to obey God. Man as he is naturally, without Christ, cannot do anything good. Yes, he makes lots of choices, that's certainly true. But man as he naturally is chooses to do everything in sin. He makes lots of choices, but always in sin. His will is in bondage to sin. That's man, naturally. Without Christ, all we can do is sin. It's all we want to do. And we are separated from God and His fellowship. Man, as he naturally is, does not know God as his friend. And instead, he feels far from God. He feels under God's wrath. And without Christ, we remain dead in sin forever. We go on and on in this life, only willing to and only being able to sin. And we remain separated from God. And then physical death comes, and physical death is just a doorway down to hell where we experience separation from God forever in the fullness of His wrath there. Let that sink in. People of God, see that this truth, this is the truth about who we are without Christ, dead in sin, separated from God. Now, Christ's work of raising up Jairus' daughter physically from the dead, it points to his work of raising us up spiritually from the dead. Christ does do that marvelous work. He does that miracle. We see the miracle that he performed with Jairus' daughter here in the text. Amazing. Well, it's amazing too that he raises us up spiritually to new life. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says there to the Ephesian church, and that applies to God's people, to us God's people. Paul writes there, by the inspiration of the Spirit, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." You hath he given life who were dead in trespasses and sins. As the risen Lord who lives, Jesus raises us up spiritually from the dead. He gives us spiritual life so that we are able and we are willing to believe in Jesus and to serve God. Think of that. We believe in Christ tonight. We confess that in the Apostles' Creed. We believe only because we have been raised spiritually from the dead. Now, how does Christ do that? How does Christ perform that miracle in us? Well, what he does is he implants spiritual life in us by his Holy Spirit. And by doing so, he makes us able and willing to believe in him and serve him. Christ implants life in us by his Spirit, and that's called regeneration. He implants that life in us by his Spirit, and then he brings us to experience this new life consciously through the power of the Word. So what he does is he calls us out of darkness and into his marvelous light through the preaching, through the Word. Remember, he healed or he raised Jairus' daughter with his Word, by his voice. Well, what Jesus does with us is he brings us to believe in Jesus by his Word and enjoy life with him. Come to experience conscious life with God. Amazing. And understand that he has raised us spiritually. He has done the work with Jairus' daughter. It wasn't the case that Jairus' daughter had to help Jesus somehow come up from the dead. She was dead. Jesus did the work of raising her up. Well, that's true in our case too, spiritually. We are dead sinners of ourselves. We can't help Jesus raise us up spiritually from the dead. No, Jesus does the work by his Holy Spirit. He regenerates. Praise be to him. And Jesus does that all on the basis of what he has done on the cross. You see, apart from his work at the cross, we would be guilty sinners in God's sight. And guilty sinners in God's sight have to remain dead. Dead in sin, and they have to die forever in hell. They're guilty. But that's the beauty of the cross. Jesus there took away our sins so that we are not guilty but righteous in God's sight. And so we have the right then to be raised spiritually from the dead. And Jesus does that. He has done that for us believers. May that be very personal. May that be very personal for you tonight. We believe in him, and we seek to praise him here in his house, singing praises only because he has raised us from the dead spiritually. Without that work, we wouldn't care about Christ. Without that work, we wouldn't care about being here tonight. Without that work, kids, you wouldn't care about being in catechism. You wouldn't care about any of it. But Jesus has raised us spiritually from the dead. And that's why we believe in Jesus. That's why we serve him. His raising of Jairus' daughter reminds us of that wonderful truth. Now Jesus commanded Jairus' daughter in verse 43. That command to give Jairus' daughter something to eat, that shows what we are to do now as those who have been regenerated. In verse 43, we read that Jesus commanded that something should be given to this girl to eat. She needed to be fed. Well, Jesus commands that we, as those who have been raised up spiritually, that we need to go be fed and be strengthened spiritually from week to week. We who have been raised up spiritually need to go be fed by the Word. That's how Jesus feeds His people spiritually today, through the Word. And we need that spiritual food and drink. We need strength as we battle against Satan and sin in this life. So may we come here to be fed spiritually week after week after week, so that we are strengthened week after week after week to do battle against Satan and his hosts and our own sinful flesh and the world, and live a life of praise to the God of our salvation. Jesus' raising of Jairus' daughter points to his spiritual raising of us from the dead, and it also points to his work of raising our human bodies from the grave at his return. So that's the second point of significance. That miracle points to his work of raising us up physically from the grave at his return. Jesus will do that. And Jesus will do that by speaking. In John 5, verses 28 and 29, we read that Jesus will raise all men at his return by his voice. It says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth." So maybe very clear, and kids, pay attention here. If we die before Christ returns, our souls will be in heaven. Our bodies will be in the grave, but our souls will be in heaven. If the wicked unbeliever dies before Christ returns, his soul will be in hell, and his body will be in the grave. Now, at the last day, Christ will return. He'll come on the clouds of glory and will raise the bodies of all men. The bodies of some have been blown to bits in war. They've been mutilated. We know that. But the Lord, who rules over everything, who controls all the particles of the earth, He certainly is able to still to raise their bodies up. He is. He's the Lord. And notice that John 5 says that Christ will raise the bodies of all by speaking. Jesus, with Jairus' daughter, He said, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise," and she rose up. Well, at the last day, think of that marvelous, marvelous work that will occur. Jesus returning, and He will cry out, "Arise." And at His voice, men will rise forth from the grave. We will come forth in our bodies from the grave. What an amazing thing. And Jesus, He will raise our bodies to bring us to live with Him in body and soul in the new heavens and new earth. Bodies of wicked unbelievers, they will be raised too. Their bodies will be joined with their souls, and they will be sent to the lake of fire. But the bodies of believers will be raised, joined to their soul, and brought to glory. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So the one who had the power to raise Jairus' daughter from the grave, He also has the power to raise us up at the last day, and He will. He will. And our bodies will be perfect. Perfect. That's in contrast to what happened with Jairus' daughter's body. She was raised, but her body wasn't perfect. Jairus' daughter got old. Jairus' daughter died. The resurrection that happened there was not the final resurrection. But at the final resurrection, when Jesus comes, our bodies will be raised incorruptible. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42 and 52 uses those words. Our bodies will be raised incorruptible. What a wonder that is. The body that we have now is corruptible. This body sins. You know that. This body suffers the effects of sin. This body gets sick. This body gets pain. This body dies. This body that we have now is corruptible, but when Jesus returns and that final resurrection occurs, this body that we have will be raised incorruptible. And that means this body will not be able to be corrupted. This body will not be able to sin. This body will not suffer the effects of sin. There will be no more flu. There will be no more cancer. It will be gone. Incorruptible. When our bodies are raised, we will experience the fullness of fellowship with God. Fullness of fellowship. Body and soul. Living in heaven and our souls will be wonderful, but without our bodies, we will not be experiencing the fullness of fellowship with God. We will be experiencing fellowship in our souls with God in heaven. But think of it, our souls will be in the grave. Our bodies will be in the grave. And our body then will not be experiencing conscious salvation. We in our bodies won't be experiencing that. In our souls we will be, but not the body. And so we need the resurrection. We need our bodies joined to our souls so that we might experience fellowship with God in body and soul forever. And that's what we will experience. In body and soul, communion with God. And that will go on and on and on forever. Jesus' raising of Jairus' daughter from the dead, points to that wonderful truth. He has the power, our Savior has the power over death. He will raise us at the last day. Thinking about that, hear this command then from Jesus. Do not be afraid, just believe. Verse 36. Do not be afraid, just believe. We can become afraid of death at times and weakness. We can be. It happens. Maybe we get sick. Maybe we get sick and we get even close to death. Maybe we have cancer and we begin to think about how we will die, and it may be soon. We can become afraid. What's going to happen to me? And our grandchildren might become afraid. Or our children, what will happen to grandpa or grandma? And this past week, there was a funeral here, and we thought the same thing about Mr. Benbema. What will happen to him? Well, Jesus says the same thing to us that he said to Jairus when Jairus got the news that his daughter had died. Jesus says to us, do not be afraid. Only believe. I am the one who will raise you up at the last day. I am the one who will raise up your loved ones in Christ at the last day. I will. I have the power over death. I've shown you that here, even in this story about Jairus and his daughter. Do not be afraid. Only believe. You will dwell with me forever in body and in soul. Have comfort tonight in that truth. Jesus' raising of Jairus' daughter shows his care over his people. That last tonight. This whole event shows his care for his people. First, in the event of raising Jairus' daughter, Jesus showed spiritual care of Jairus and his family. Remember that Jesus did not hurry to get to Jairus' home and heal that girl before she died. No, he talked to that woman. He talked to the disciples. He waited until after Jairus' daughter died, and he did that with a purpose. He does everything with a purpose. He did that with a purpose. He did that for Jairus' and his family's good. You understand, Jairus needed to see Jesus' power more clearly and learn to trust in Jairus. Jairus needed to learn to trust in Jesus all the more. Remember that Jairus thought that Jesus had to come with him to his house to heal his daughter. And Jairus hadn't even been thinking of the possibility that Jesus could raise someone from the dead. Jairus needed his faith in Jesus and his power to be strengthened. That's why Jesus waited. Also, Jesus waited to go to Jairus' until after his daughter died so that he might point Jairus and his family to his work of spiritual salvation. He waited until after she died so that he might perform that miracle right in front of Jairus and his wife, perform that miracle that pictured his work of raising his people from the dead spiritually. What a picture that was right in front of Jairus. And Jesus waited until after this girl had died so that he might put a picture of what he will do at the last day right in front of Jairus. I will raise my people to be with me forever in body and in soul. I have power over death. He waited until after Jairus' daughter died for a reason. He did it in his care for Jairus and his family to increase his faith, to increase his trust in Jesus to supply his needs. And amazingly, Jesus' raising of Jairus' daughter, it also shows his care for us. For this history, what we hear tonight also serves to increase our faith in the Savior. And it serves to comfort us. He uses this event to show us tonight that he has the power to raise us up at the end. How wonderful that is. As we said, we can become scared at times of when we think about death. But Jesus' raising of Jairus' daughter shows us there's nothing to fear. We will be raised. We will live forever with our God in body and in soul. Think of that. Jesus controlling this event so long ago so that he might give us that powerful reminder tonight. And he might speak to us of his power over death tonight. Jesus controls all of those things. He is a caring, a loving Savior, a wonderful Savior. Praise be to him. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we bow humbly before thee, acknowledging that thou art a very gracious God. Jesus is the Almighty Savior who has shown to us so clearly in the Word tonight that he has the power over death, and that we will live with thee forever in body and soul. And that even now, we are raised spiritually from the dead so that we are able to believe and serve thee. What spiritual truths thou dost show to us in the Word, we pray that thou wilt apply them to our heart. And may we go forward this week, trusting in thee and being comforted. In Jesus' name, amen.